I invite you to stand now as we share together in the Psalter, Psalm 136, that is printed on the screen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders. His steadfast love endures forever. Who by understanding made the heavens. His steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters. His steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day. The moon and the stars to rule over the night. His steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate. His steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes. His steadfast love endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh. His steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. His steadfast love endures forever. Praise our God because his steadfast love endures forever. Please be seated. Good morning. I'm Judy May, one of the associate pastors, and I welcome you to worship. Let us pray. Indeed, O God, your steadfast love endures forever. And we ask now that you surround each one of us with your love. Let the words that we have sung and that we will hear, the words from your scripture, let them fill our hearts and meditate through this week. As we seek to be your people. Amen. As we begin to focus on the second of what author Anne Lamott calls the three essential prayers, thanks, I want to share three more short verses of scripture with you. If you are a fan of Big Ten football, or the opening of conference basketball play, you may have seen these verses referenced on t-shirts or posters out in the crowd. The verses are from the Apostle Paul, his first letter to the church in Thessalonica. In chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Paul says this, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. These were the life verses for 20-year-old Tyler Trent, a Purdue University student and super fan. Perhaps you saw him interviewed on television. Tyler became an inspiration for Purdue country and all across the country, all across the nation, as he valiantly fought against and raised money for research for the bone cancer that eventually took his life 2 weeks ago. For Tyler, these words spoke timeless truths, basic beliefs, certain convictions. Rejoice always. Pray at all times. Thank God no matter what happens. These three strike you as odd and sort of out of touch with our world today? Painful realities of life, illness, broken relationships, failures, loss of employment. Give thanks? Yes. Gratitude. And Lamott says that if we are lucky, gratitude becomes a habit. And she continues with these words, gratitude begins in our hearts and then it dovetails into behavior. It almost always makes us willing to be of service, which is where the joy is. When you are aware of all that has been given to you in your lifetime and in the past few days, it's hard not to be humbled and pleased to give back. End quote. Leo Tolstoy tells the story of three hermits who lived off on a remote island. They had a prayer, a very simple prayer. We are three. You are three. Have mercy. Amen. We are three. You are three. Have mercy. Amen. And miracles sometimes happened when they prayed this simple way. But the bishop, hearing about the hermits, decided that they really needed guidance in proper prayer. So he went to their small island, and after instructing them in the way that he believed they should pray, he set sail for the mainland, very pleased with himself for having instructed and enlightened these poor souls who prayed such simple words. Suddenly, off in the distance, off the stern of the ship, the bishop saw this huge, huge ball of light skimming across the water, coming toward him. And as the light grew closer and closer, he could see that it was the three hermits running on top of the water. The three got on ship, and they said to the bishop, "We are so sorry. We've forgotten everything that you taught us. Would you please instruct us again?" The bishop just shook his head and very meekly replied, "Forget everything I taught you. Forget everything I taught you and continue to pray in your same way." A simple prayer of thanks. We are three, you are three, have mercy, amen. Simple and natural for those three hermits. You see, all of our prayers about our relationship with God, our life experiences guide us. When we use our gifts and our skills given to us by God, for the service of God, we are praying. When we join with God and others to create beauty, or to promote peace, or to act for justice, we're praying. And when we pray gratefully, we are witnessing to others the wonder of our God. It has been said that if we could only see the heart of God, we would be drawn into expressions of gratitude, prayers of thanks, much more often than we do. How easy it is for us to imagine God as out there, majestic. But our prayer of thanks does make a difference to God. It's kind of like the proud mother who receives that bouquet of wilted dandelions. You know how special that is. That's how God feels about our prayers of thanksgiving. No matter how small, no matter how feeble they might be. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis identifies for us some of the things that keep us from expressions of gratitude in our prayer life. Barriers. The first one he talks about is our inattention. We get caught up in the whirl of our life, that rat race, the demands of our home and our family and our school and our work. Those things can often conspire to make life at times seem like a blur. We cannot say thanks for what we do not see. Inattention. And then Lewis offers another impediment to expressing gratitude. We don't spend enough time, he says, in reflection. Reflection of just what it is we have. Think about something as simple, yet as life-giving as our five senses. This is the stuff for which we often take for granted and neglect to say thanks. Did you smell the coffee this morning? Maybe there was bacon. Did you see the beautiful sunrise? Did you taste your breakfast? Did you touch someone you love? Did you say thanks, God? Lewis mentions one more obstruction to our gratitude prayer. How easy it is for those who discover God in the ordinary to become very smug about it. And we say to others, don't you get it? Don't you see it? It's right under your nose. The focus turns to us then. Not gratitude for what we might show someone else. But there are stepping stones around these obstructions. As Anne Lamott says, the essential prayer of thanks is learned. It must be learned. And with effort, it becomes a habit. A habit of gratitude that is cultivated. Richard Foster, who wrote the book Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home, offers these thoughts for us. Start small. Watch a butterfly. Pay attention to the little creatures. Remember watching little children outside? Following the ants as they crawled along the sidewalk? Simple. Pay attention to the little creatures. Don't try to analyze them. Just watch. Begin to experience the tiny pleasures and then move along that trail to the giver of pleasures and say thanks. Another stone to step onto in our work toward an attitude of gratitude is our grateful center. Using our imagination, take yourself however far back you need to go to a time and a place where you have vivid memories of joy or comfort or peace. Spend some time there. And then allow prayers of thanksgiving to flow forth. The next stepping stone that Foster offers is perhaps a little more challenging. Foster says, try to live one entire day in total thanksgiving. Balance early complaints, coming up with 10 gratitudes. Every criticism with 10 compliments. I said, a little more challenging than going to our safe place. As we grow in our attitude of thankfulness, we can move on to the Psalter. Almost every psalm, we will be able to find a passage that will help us in thanking God. And one of the neat ways to work with the Psalter is to take one and write it in your own words. That will lead to a time of thanks, thanksgiving. The first three verses of another psalm, Psalm 145, tell us this. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Didn't we sing something along those lines? Bless your name forever and ever. Perhaps the most basic question when it comes to prayer is, now, really, to whom am I praying? In other words, what is the image of God that can guide my prayer? Depending on our prayer needs, we can choose different names for God. There are many in Scripture. And we have our own. God of stillness, quiet my soul. Gentle shepherd, watch over me. My rock, teach me to cling to you. Blessed healer, I need a balm for my soul. Inner light, burn bright in me. All of these are breath prayers. They can be spoken in one breath, ending in thanks. One of my favorite names for God is love. So in the breath prayer, I am able to inhale love and exhale thanks. Take a couple of seconds. Right now, think of a name that you use for God. Inhale that name. Exhale, thanks. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. May this be our life verse. For the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God among us, for the Word of God in us, thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing prayer, I offer these words from 13th century Germany. It is a prayer of thanksgiving for the God of many names. O burning mountain, O chosen sun, O perfect moon, O fathomless wall, our unattainable height, clearness beyond measure, wisdom without end, mercy without limits, strength beyond resistance, O crown beyond all majesty, the humble thing you created sings your praise. Amen.